this afternoon to chapter 21 of the book of Numbers, chapter 21, and last time we looked down to verse number 10 as we considered the serpent of brass that Moses lifted up in the wilderness there as God had instructed him, and we looked at how that serpent represented Christ and what it meant to there in showing his death. And then beginning in verse number 11, in fact, we ended last time them pitching their tents. They took camp in Oboth. And Oboth is right here next to the land of Edom. It's on the border of Edom. It's still in the wilderness of Zin there. There's where Oboth is, and that's where we're going to begin tonight in chapter number 21, as they will depart from Zin again, or depart from Oboth. This again is the 40th year. So they are making their way up to enter into the promised land. And God is sending them in that direction to get them in the place where He is ready for them to enter into the promised land. And so we begin in verse 11. It says, "And they journeyed from Oboth and pitched at Aja Abarim. Something like it. In the wilderness, which is before Moab, toward the sun rising. From thence they removed and pitched in the valley of Zared. From thence they removed and pitched on the other side of Arnon, which is in the wilderness that cometh out of the coast of the Amorites. For Arnon is the border of Moab, between Moab and the Amorites." Now, God, in His promise to Abraham, we can go over and read in chapter 15 of the book of Genesis. You can read there the land that was promised to Abraham and his descendants after him. That included from here, well, actually here rather, the river of Egypt, which is the Nile there. From there, all the way over here to the river Euphrates, which runs way up here in Syria. Actually, it's on up here in Syria. Yeah, the river Euphrates running down there. Let me see if I got a little bit better map. Here we go. So basically from the Nile there, all the way up to the Euphrates River and all of the Sinai Peninsula and the Arabia Peninsula is Israel's promised land. That's what God promised to Abraham. Now they have never owned all of that land. There's a time coming when they will. And that, according to Scripture, will be during the millennial reign of Christ, that will all be Israel's land at that point. All they have ever actually owned or actually possessed is the area here around what is modern day Israel, and then just to the east there of the Jordan River. That is all they've ever owned. During the time of Solomon, that was the biggest time or the largest extent of their borders during Solomon's reign. And Solomon owned all the way down here to the Gulf of Aqaba, where it runs into the Red Sea there. They owned all the way down to that point and back up again. And so that was the largest they've ever owned, but they've never fully possessed the land that was promised to Abraham yet. They're going to, but they've not owned all of it yet. When we're reading about the promised land during the time of Moses, God is not speaking, when He's talking to Moses about it, He's not speaking about all the land promised to Abraham. But rather, the only part He's talking about is Canaan. That's the only part He's in reference to there, is the land of Canaan. And which that's primarily what we consider when we talk about the promised land. That's the part that we talk about, is that land of the land of Canaan there, what would become the land of Israel. So this portion here is where we're focused at this afternoon, as we see them coming up on the east side of Canaan. They will not enter into Canaan until Joshua takes leadership. But they are taking control of all of this area here on the east side of Jordan, and it will become property for Israel. Israel will control that when they come into the promised land, but this is itself not the promised land that God was declaring to Moses. When he's talking to Moses, he's talking about the Canaanitish country there, okay? So when we read concerning in the details that Moses is given, this is what he is in reference to, the promised land. Everything west of the Jordan River. When you come into the book of Joshua, and you get there toward the end of the book of Joshua, the Bible says God gave to Israel all the property that he had promised to their fathers. Now that's not talking about all the land that he promised to Abraham, because I said they've never owned all of that. But rather it's what he told to Moses and to Aaron, that property that was given. When Joshua came in and took all of the Canaanite area there, that was fulfilled in the book of Joshua. And so they received all the land that was promised to Moses and to Aaron. That's what that's in reference to there. But here we see them coming up on the east side of the Jordan River and beginning to move toward their entrance into the promised land. Now we know where they entered into the promised land. That was at the city of Jericho, which Jericho was just here north of the Dead Sea. That's where Joshua and the children of Israel would cross the Jordan River over into the promised land, and Jericho would be that first major conquest that they would face in the promised land. However, before they get to that place, God gives them the passage here to come up on the east side, and what we read about here in Numbers chapter 21 is them taking control of basically all of the property between there and there, except for Edom. They don't take control of Edom, they skirt around Edom, although they've already whipped them. In chapter before, they were not permitted to take the land. God gave specific instruction. That was their cousins. They're not to take that land. Likewise, they were not permitted to take the land of Moab from Moab. So they skirt Moab here as well. Okay? However, Moab's land goes way on up in here. And they will actually take part of it, not because, well, I'll explain that when we get to it, because they're not taking it from Moab, they're actually taking it from the Amorites, because the Amorites have taken it from Moab. But here God is moving them up into the area that they can enter into the promised land and go in to battle and to take the promised land that he has given to Moses and to Aaron, what he has promised them. Now, they leave from Oboth, and they go to Abram, whatever that is. That's nowhere on the map. I don't know exactly what that is. I know the Abarim are mountains in Moab, but this particular thing is called the ruins. That's what that little word I-J-E means in the Hebrew. It is the ruins of Abarim. And so I don't know what ruins it's talking about specifically, possibly a city or maybe even a group of cities that were destroyed earlier, or maybe by the time of Moses' time they were recent destruction, but those were ruins of those mountains of Abarim, and where that is specifically we don't know. Okay, but they are in the land of Moab there when they come to those mountains. In fact, Nebo, Mount Nebo, which is here, which is right across from Jericho there, Mount Nebo is in those mountains of Abarim. And Nebo, of course, will see it more often listed for us in the scriptures. But Mount Nebo is one of those mountains in that range of the Abiram Mountains. Now, they are coming up. Now, Nebo is one of those mountains, but it stretches, the mountain range itself stretches all the way down to here. Okay, so it's a decent size mountain range. Those Abiram Mountains are running along here. They leave from Oboth. They come and they skirt around Moab here. Here is the Valley of Zered. The Valley of Zered. It's a river or a brook here that runs through this valley here off the south end of the Dead Sea. And that's just right there at the end of the Dead Sea or the Salt Sea, and it runs out there. That's that Valley of Zered that you read about in verse number 12 there. It says, from thence they removed and pitched in the Valley of Zered. And from thence they removed and pitched on the other side of Arnon, which is in the wilderness that cometh out of the coast of the Amorites. For Arnon is the border of Moab, between Moab and the Amorites. So they skirt around Moab and they come up here to Arnon, and that's a river that is coming into the Dead Sea right there from the east. And so it's coming into the Dead Sea, this river Arnon. So they make their journey around and they come up here on this border there on the river of Arnon. And this is, from this point forward, is where the Amorites have taken the property of Moab. Now, because Moab was their cousins, God said you can't take Moab's land. However, the Amorites had already stolen this land here from Moab in conquest. And so that, they are free, the Lord allows them to take that. So Israel will actually take that land from the Amorites that goes on northward there. Let me flip maps over here and we'll... Now that puts us down here. Here's the Valley of Zered right here at the bottom of the Dead Sea. They skirt around Moab and come up here. Here's the mountains of Abiram there. That's where that mountain range is. And they come here to the River Arnon. And from the River Arnon is where they will meet up with the Amorites. He goes on to tell us about that conquest against them. In fact, he says there, verse number 14, wherefore it is said in the book of the wars of the Lord. In the book of the wars of the Lord. And what we find in the scriptures is there are several books that were written that we don't have a copy of today. And you have to be extremely careful of that as well. I know one of the books that the scripture speaks of is the book of Enoch. And later on, a heretic group would write another book of Enoch that you have to be trying to pretend like it was the book of Enoch that was mentioned in the scripture. And so you have to be careful about those extra biblical books, those books that were not a part of the Bible, not considered inspired, so not included. You have to be careful because there's a lot of false copies or false books out there, counterfeits, that are written trying to say or trying to pretend to represent what that one the Lord was spoken of. We don't know what this book is. Some have even suggested that maybe Moses was the writer of this particular book. Another one of the books that he would have written. We don't know that. It just simply says that it was in the book of the wars of the Lord. And so this book apparently detailed these combat situations that Israel faced and what was the outcomes of them. But we don't have record of that book. He just tells us apparently they did in Moses' day. Apparently they had record of it then. And so those in Moses' day, when they're reading through the book of Numbers, oh yeah, that's over in that book there. I've read that book. That the Lord details that in that book for us. And so that's one of those extra books. And we find several of them throughout the scripture. Paul, for instance, wrote a third letter to the Corinthians.
that we have no record of. We don't know what he makes mention of it. Paul makes mention of that letter to the Corinthians and says, you remember when I wrote to you before. But we don't have any record of that. The Lord didn't choose to make that one inspired. And so we only have Paul's other two to them. So there are many others that are mentioned in the scripture. And we, again, we have to be careful. It would be interesting to read the real ones. But we have to be careful because there are those that claim to be those books that are actually counterfeits of those books to try to gain some authority. So it would, again, be interesting to read them, but they are not Scripture. God has not chosen them to be Scripture. But here's an example of one of those extra books in the book of the Wars of the Lord. What he did in the Red Sea and in the brooks of Arnon, how he gave them those victories. And at the stream of the brooks that go down to the dwelling of Ar and lieth upon the border of Moab, and from thence they went to Beer, that is the well. And by the way, that's what the word Beer means. It means well. And so whenever you see those particular cities that have the word Beer, one, for instance, is Beer Sheba, that was in the land of Moab. That simply means the well of Sheba. So that's what that word Beer means there. And so that word, or that place, Beer, is a place where God gave them water. It was a well that was there. And it says, from thence they went to Beer, that is the well whereof the Lord spake unto Moses, gather the people together, and I will give them water. So here's another place that God provided water for them. And it tells us that Israel sang a song of praise to the Lord in the provision of that water from the well there. And they sang this song there in verse 17 and verse number 18. And their song simply is, and it doesn't, I can't make it rhyme, and I'm not going to try to put a tune to it. I'm just going to read the words to you and what they were singing. Their song is, spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. The princes digged the well, the nobles of the people digged it, by the direction of the lawgiver, with their staves. And so that's their song right there. Spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. The princes digged the well, the nobles of the people digged it, by the direction of the lawgiver, with their staves. So their song is, God told us where to dig, and we dug, and we've got water. That was their song there. And so they dug this well here at Beer, according to God's direction, where to dig it at, and there it provided water for the people as they followed his direction. And from there, from Beer there at that well, they traveled from the wilderness, they went to Madanah. And Madanah to Nahaliel, which I don't know if this map here has got Nahaliel. I thought it did. Although I don't see it now. I must have saw it on another map somewhere. But it's on up further here from the river Arnon as they're traveling north here through this area. Coming up to the river Jabbok is what they're heading toward. And of course, the river Jabbok is here, kind of in the middle between... here it is. Nahaliel is the river here. I thought it was on here somewhere. Here's Nahaliel. So they're coming up from Arnon to Nahaliel here, traveling northward as they move toward the country of the Amorites. Now, it tells us in verse, from Nahaliel to Bamoth, which is another city there, and I don't know if Bamoth is on here or not, but it was a city on further north there in that area. And as they make their way there, it says, from Bamoth in the valley that is in the country of Moab to the top of Pisgah, they look toward Jeshimon. And Jeshimon and Pisgah, Mount Pisgah is right here just on the north side of the
Salt Sea or the Dead Sea right there. Here's Mount Pisgah, and Jeshimon is the valley that's running out from the Dead Sea over that direction. That's that mountain that they're overlooking there, or the valley that they're overlooking from the mountain of Pisgah. And it says, verse 21, Israel sent messengers to Sion. So they're right here at the north part of the Dead Sea, the extreme border here of Moab. The Amorites are those that dwell on further, north from there. And so they send word to the Amorites asking, as they did with Edom and as they did with Moab, they are asking the Amorites, hey, is it all right if we travel through your country? We'll not hurt anything. We'll not disturb anything. If we disturb anything, we'll gladly pay for it. We're just asking for safe passage to travel on. They had no intention of taking this property. Their purpose was simply to get where God was directing them. And so they're simply following God's direction, and they're asking permission. They're being courteous travelers. And so they ask, is it all right if we travel through? There's a great big bunch of us, and we're coming through. If we mess anything up, we'll fix it. We use anything, we'll pay for it. We're just asking for safe travel. And so we read here, as they ask this permission, they speak specifically to Sihon. He's one of the kings of the Amorites. And he says, let me pass through thy land. We will not turn into the fields or into the vineyards. We will not drink of the waters of the well, but we will go along by the king's highway until we be past thy borders. And Sihon would not suffer Israel to pass through his border, but Sihon gathered his people together and went out against Israel into the wilderness and came to Jahaz and fought against Israel. And Israel smote him with the edge of the sword, and possessed his land from Arnon unto Jabbok. And so his land was from here, the river Arnon, here about halfway across the Salt Sea, and Jabbok is up here, up level with Shechem here, is where the river Jabbok comes off of or enters into Jordan here. So this from here to here now is the land of Sihon the Amorite, and now suddenly Israel has all of that land. They are now in control of that property, which once was a part of Moab's property, but Moab lost it to the Amorites, and God allowed Israel to take it then from the Amorites. Now Sihon, if he'd have been smart, he would have simply said, yeah, you all whipped everybody else. Yeah, pass on through. We'd be glad to have you. Welcome to our place. That would have been the smart thing to do. But instead, not only did he say no to them, he came out and fought with them. And when he came out to fight with them, they met him in battle. And of course, they defeated Sihon and his army and took over his land there. The Amorites had bragged about taking it from Moab. And so now here Israel takes it from them. So they now control the land from the Arnon River there up to Jabbok. And so they've got all of this land here now. That will, later on, when they will enter in to take the promised land, this will be part that they will parcel out to the tribes. So they will extend even the borders of what God has promised to them there by taking this land from the Amorites there. So far from Arnon to Jabbok. So now they're here at Jabbok. God is continuing to move them northward there. And so the next one they come in contact with is Og. Now, we read on here. Verse 24 says, Israel smote him with the edge of the sword, possessed his land from Arnon unto Jabbok, even unto the children of Ammon, for the border of the children of Ammon was strong. So here's the border of Ammon here. This is where the Ammonites lived. They were a mighty army that they would end up fighting against before time is over with. But that they did not go beyond their border. They stayed within the border of what the Amorites possessed and did not go over into Ammon. Israel took all these cities, verse 25,
And Israel dwelt in all the cities of the Amorites in Heshbon and in all the villages thereof. For Heshbon was the city of Sihon, the king of the Amorites, who had fought against the former king of Moab and taken all his land out of the hand, even unto Arnon. Wherefore they that speak in Proverbs say, come into Heshbon, let the city of Sihon be built and prepared. For there is a fire gone out of Heshbon, a flame from the city of Sihon. It hath consumed Ar of Moab and the lords of the high places of Arnon. Woe to thee, Moab, thou art undone. O people of Chemosh, he hath given his sons that escaped and his daughters into captivity unto Sihon, king of the Amorites. We have shot at them. Heshbon is perished, even unto Dibon, and we have laid them waste, even unto Nophah, which reacheth unto Medeba. Thus Israel dwelt in the land of the Amorites. So God is telling us the reason they were given permission now to take this land, that which once was Moab's land, is the Amorites bragged. Ha ha ha! See what we've done? See what we've captured? You ain't going to be able to stand against us. We're stronger than anybody else. Look what we've done. We went down here and took all this land from Moab. God said, all right, then I'm giving it to Israel. And so he took the land and gave that property there up to the Jabbok River. He gave that, let me find Jabbok again. Here's Jabbok. He took that all that property there. He gave that was Sihon's land. That he controlled. Now, we get to verse 32. Moses tells us there, Moses sent to spy out Jazer. And they took the villages thereof and drove out the Amorites that were there. And they turned and went up the way of Bashan. And Og, the king of Bashan, went out against them, he and all his people, to the battle at Edrei. And the Lord said unto Moses, fear him not, for I have delivered him into thy hand and all his people and his land, and thou shalt do to him as thou didst unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwelt at Heshbon. So they smote him and his sons and all his people until there was none left him alive, and they possessed his land. And his land went from the river Jabbok here all the way up to Bashan. The area of Bashan is actually in the country of Syria here, or borders on Syria. This is once part of Syria. And so here you have the rest of the land of the Amorites now belonging to Israel. So Israel now controls this land from the river Arnon all the way up here to the border of Syria. And that wasn't what they were after. They were simply following the direction of the Lord to get them into the promised land. They knew that's where they were looking for, that's where they were going, but in the process of this, the Lord gives them the victory, and now they control all of this land here on the east side of Jordan as well. And so this will later become part of Manasseh's property, part of Reuben's property. That will be part that belongs to them up through there. That's the part they will choose for their inheritance. And now they own land all the way up north of the Sea of Galilee here, which of course is going to play a very important role when we get to the time of Jesus, when the children of Israel have expanded that land under Solomon's rule. So what we're told here, what we're given here, is their direction as God is leading them forward. They remember they were concerned about entering into Canaan as they spied it out from the south here. They were concerned about entering in because they were worried about the giants that were in the land. They were worried about the strong armies that they would have to face. And so at last, when they started listening, started following the Lord, started to be obedient in their journeying here, as God is bringing them up here in this 40th year, he gives them these two great victories against Sihon and Og that will ring in the ears of all of these nations that are here in the Promised Land. And of course, Jericho makes mention of that when they come into the city of Jericho. That's one of the things that they declare there. Oh, we've heard about you guys. We've heard what the Lord has done for you. We've heard about the victories that he has given you. And so that's going to ring true because of these victories that are given. The Lord made the promise, I'll drive them out before you. And we will see those nations scared to death as Israel will enter into the promised land. Now again, this is not all, even with this section here, that is not all the property that God promised to Abraham. That is, however, more than the property that he promised to Moses and to Aaron. Okay? There's a time coming in the millennial reign that Israel will control all of the land that was promised unto Abraham. That's not yet been given him. But there's a time coming when the children of Israel will control all of that and be given that property that was promised them by God. All right. Well, let's all stand and we'll be dismissed tonight.